Well, good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Local Matters. I'm your host, Dwight Henry. A special program today, a different kind of program. I just wanted to talk to you for a few minutes to this wonderful community that has been touched by this tragic event, this tornado, which came out of nowhere, totally unexpected, and did so much damage in Middle Tennessee, so much damage, particularly in Putnam County, friends and neighbors. And, you know, it's a difficult, it was a sad, it was a solemn, solemn day. And for the rest of our lives, some people will remember it, recovering from it. And I just want to kind of visit with you about that and reflect on that and hopefully be helpful to all of us, because all of us either were impacted directly by the tornado, we know someone who was injured, we lost a loved one, lost property. It's just a time that we need to think about and reflect on, and that's what I want to do today. And I moved to this community in 1973 as a Tennessee Tech student. My plan was to graduate from Tennessee Tech and and go back to East Tennessee where I was born and came from, but I never did get around to going back, and actually have made this my home and have been here the vast majority of the time since my graduation from Tennessee Tech back in the 70s. And let me just tell you from my heart, throughout the years, I continue to be inspired and impressed and proud of this community as it rallies around situations and things like these that bring tragedy and bring pain. This is a wonderful, wonderful community in which we live. In fact, the very night of this tornado, I happened to already be a patient at Cookeville Regional Medical Center and learned about the tornado when the nurse came into the room and said, "We're going to be moving the patients out into the hall." And I want you to know the staff, the doctors, everybody on board, calm, effectively, efficiently, professionally, got that done, moved us out, and they began to act and react. I didn't know this at the time, but the hospital put in a request and an all hands on deck from their employees that were off duty, and from all over the region, employees that weren't scheduled to work began to come in to help take care of the need. I talked to one nurse that had just arrived from Salina, and they and many of the employees there at Cookeville Regional Medical Center who had worked 12 hours already, sometimes more than that, remained. They stayed to work over. Stayed there. The surgeons literally performed surgery all night long. The staff got set up beds in halls, forming triage kind of operations wherever they could, because they had an idea. It was code yellow, I learned, which is disaster. They prepared for that and worked hard and worked diligently. But that was just one thing that was going on. I've heard so many stories, and I'm just reflecting now on the goodness of the good people of this community. So many stories. I heard a story about some men who were standing by a rubble. And by the way, every pile of rubble, every pile of lumber, every pile of dirt, it represents a person. It represents a family. It represents a business. It represents people hurting. And these few men were there cleaning up. And I heard the governor tell the story, actually. He said, "I came up on the scene, and these men said, 'Is this your business?' And he said, 'No, this was just a business where we came and drank coffee every morning, and we want to come and help clean up and help be involved.'" I heard about fraternity brothers. One fraternity brother whose home was gone, his wife was there. The fraternity brothers showed up the next morning to help out, to clean up, to extend a hand of care to that particular young man. The very best of people comes out during these hard times. And we are seeing now in this community, churches and businesses and individuals, not to mention the heroic efforts of their first responders, our government officials, our city and county employees, sheriff's department, all those folks really teaming up. The call went out for blood that that day and night that I was in the hospital, and the line literally almost wrapped around the entire hospital, people showing up to donate blood, to make a difference, to do all that they can. Shelters have been set up. Churches have got involved in terms of meeting needs, a community center, almost anything you would want to go there. Transportation is offered. So we have seen this wonderful community once again begin to hold hands and once again begin to extend the kind of love. And this is not the first time. I was here in 1974. I just got here as a tech student, and a tremendous tornado hit over near where the Hidden Hollow area. I happened to be involved in a fraternity at the time, and we went out the next morning to begin to move trees and debris and all that, and the community rallied then. Every time something like this happens, the wonderful folks in Cookeville and the surrounding areas, and we did. We've had lots of help from people in surrounding counties, state organizations, federal organizations, all that have pitched in, and it just makes me very, very proud of this community that I live in and that I call home. And it goes on even as I speak. And let me encourage you, and I say this from the heart. Some weeks from now, when this tornado is removed from the headlines and we're not talking about it as much and some of the rubble and damage is cleaned up, folks, these people who were seriously injured, these families who lost loved ones, in one case at least an entire family, these people who children were caught up in this and parents and grandparents, they're going to be hurting. It's going to settle in. Let's please not forget those we know and maybe those we don't know. Continue to extend ourselves to them. Continue to check on. Continue to call. Continue to love. Because that, as a hospice chaplain, I can tell you, that's when the bereavement really starts. When it gets off the front page, maybe, and we aren't thinking about it as much. These people, some of them would be thinking about it the rest of their life. So let's not forget that. Make a note. Put it down. The way you're reaching out now, you won't be able to reach out to hundreds and hundreds maybe, but there's that handful that you can help, that you can be an extension of God's love to. This is Local Matters. I'm your host, Dwight Henry, and we're talking about this tragic tornado that recently did so much damage, loss of lives, injuring people, loss of property. And again, I just want to say how proud I am to call myself a citizen of this community, as all over by the hundreds, people have reached out in various ways to make a difference to those who are hurting, to those who lost lives and lost property and have been damaged. And I want to talk to you about this a little bit from my heart, from a spiritual perspective. And hear me here now. Hear what I'm saying, please. Begin to see on social media and various other places. I saw the first day after it happened a post that some little child asked, "Did God do this? Did God do this?" And then later on, I was watching a press conference or an update that our city and county mayor, Randy Porter, Ricky Shelton, Sheriff Ferris, all were conducting, and I was watching the notes that came up as I was observing that. And one post or one comment was, "Well, this is the wrath of God on this area, the wrath of God. This is an act of God," implying, in fact, right out saying that God did this. Folks, let me tell you, hear me. This is not God's vengeance. This is not an act of God. We serve a God of love and comfort, and He does not do business that way. In fact, let me kind of document that for you and talk to you. If you have questions about that, or if in your heart you don't know, or if you've heard someone say that. You see, yes, in the Old Testament, the land opened up and swallowed people. In the old, we saw damage. We saw all those kinds of things. But hear me now. The Bible tells us in Hebrews, the 8th chapter of Hebrews, that now everything changed with Jesus. Everything changed with the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible plainly tells us that we are under a better covenant with better promises. You see, God has always worked with people through covenants. He made a covenant with Adam. You know, take dominion, name the animals. He made a covenant with Noah. I'll never destroy the earth by flood again. He made a covenant with Abraham that this shall be your land. God's always worked through covenants. We don't know much about covenants in this culture, but God's always worked through covenants. Now, and we also, according to Scripture in the book of Hebrews, chapter 8, around verse 6, we are working under a covenant. But the difference between this covenant and any other covenant ever cut by God, this covenant isn't made between God and another man. This covenant is made between God the Father and God the Son. It is a better covenant based on better promises. You stay with us. This is Local Matters, and we'll return in a moment.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. Office Mart on South Jefferson and Cookeville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service, too. And unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. Office Mart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue across from Hardee's. Shop local at Office Mart.
Welcome back to Local Matters. I'm your host, Dwight Henry. This special program, we are reflecting and thinking about and talking about this tragedy that happened in our community, this tornado taking so many lives, injuring so many people, damaging so much property. And we've talked about how proud we are of this community and all that hundreds and hundreds of people have done to make a difference and help those that are hurting, and how we need to continue to do that even after the storm gets off the front page and off the airways. These folks are going to be hurting for a long time. So keep in mind, let's continue to follow up with the work we're doing now. And we begin to talk about the spiritual side and spiritual matters of this, and how that some would say, did God do this? Did God send this? And we talked about before the break a little bit that we're under a new covenant, a covenant based on the performance of Jesus Christ, based on better promises. And you may have heard someone say, and it's amazing to me how this got even into the body of Christ, but it's there. Well, you know, the Bible says, I hear often that God won't put on us any more than we can stand. Folks, I don't hold myself out to be an expert, but I have studied the Bible fairly consistently for about 40 years or so now, and I see nowhere that it says that, not anywhere, especially in the New Covenant. Now, there's a verse in Corinthians that says there's no temptation, that meaning test, trial, or tribulation. There's no temptation taken you such as common to man, but God is faithful. With the temptation, with the test, trial, and tribulation, he will provide you a way of escape. God is the one providing a way of escape. That scripture does not say that God put it on you. That if I really believe that God put pneumonia, and God does not put pneumonia on folks. He does not drop tornadoes on folks. He does not kill our children. He does not take our jobs. That's not, that is not the God of comfort. That is not the God of the new covenant. That is not the God of the New Testament. That's not the way that he works. If hard times were a teacher, all of us would have doctorate degrees. Well, Dwight, you know, the Bible says that God chastises those he loves. Let's think just a little bit about, if we could, that word chastise. If you look at that word chastise, as I said before, and you study that word, it does not mean kill your kids, take your job, hit your community with a hurricane or a tornado, cause tragedy. Not at all. When you explore that word, here's what you learn. That word, you see, we are spirit, souls, and body. We are spirit beings. Our spirit beings, while we're on this earth, we live in a body. We live in a body, and we have a soulish realm, a mind, will, and emotions. Now, when we receive Christ, when we begin our relationship with God through the completed work of Jesus Christ, the Bible says we become new creatures in Christ Jesus. The Bible says we become temples of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says Christ in us, our hope of glory. The Bible says that we are born again. So our spirits are recreated. We have new spirits. Now, the Bible also says that we have to spend the rest of our lives renewing our mind and sacrificing our bodies. Nothing happens to the mind, will, and emotions much at that point in time. Nothing happens to the body. It still wants to resist us and take us down another path. But we are spirit beings. When Christ comes into our life and we become new creatures in Christ Jesus, we're recreated on the inside. And at that point in time, when we do something that we shouldn't do, that we know flies in the face of the new creature that we are, or don't do something that we should do in terms of obedience, our new creature, our new spirit it's pricked. Sometimes we might call it our conscience hurting. Sometimes we might call it various things, but our new creature is offended. Our new creature is chastised, and there's a pricking of the spirit. There's a, ooh, that's not who I am anymore. Ooh, that's offensive to the new creature that I am. Now, we can continue doing it, and that voice might get quieter and quieter, but when you study the word chastise, it does not mean break your leg. It does not mean spank you. It does not mean take your job or kill your kids or destroy your home with a tornado. It means chastise, pricks the spirit. The new creature is offended. The new creature that we are says, ooh, that's not who you are anymore. Ooh, that doesn't represent who you stand for anymore. And then at that point in time, when the Bible says, my sheep will know my voice, and the voice of the Holy Spirit pricks us that way. If you study the word chastise, that's what it means, a pricking of the spirit. So the Bible does not say God won't put on you any more than you can stand. It doesn't say that anywhere. And when the Bible says chastise, it doesn't mean tragedy. It doesn't mean you'll lose your job. It doesn't mean God will put double pneumonia. I heard someone say that God can't give you double pneumonia because he doesn't have it. You know, and if we really did believe that God would, that God did something, if we really did believe that God gave us cancer, how would we dare even pray for him to heal us of it if he put it on us to teach us a lesson? No, we're taught lessons by the Holy Spirit. We're taught lessons by the Word of God. I said all that simply to say this, that nowhere will you find that God. So God was not the author. God was not the sender. God was not the director of this tornado. And believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, when you become the temple of the Holy Spirit, when Christ in you, your hope of glory, happens to you, when you begin your relationship with God, you become supernaturally equipped. The Bible, and I'm speaking now to those, which really includes all of us, directly or indirectly, who hurt from this tornado, who've lost family members, who've been injured, who know someone who's lost family members, who've been injured, property, all of that. I want you to know, believers, we are not in this by ourselves. We have more than our own willpower, more than our own ability to help us through this. The Bible says that we are daily loaded with benefits. The Bible tells us that we are earthly vessels with heavenly treasures. The Bible tells us about specific things that are available to us, powers, forces, if you will, that are available to us right now as believers to get us through these difficult times. None of these things we'll need when we get to heaven, because there won't be any tragedy in heaven. There won't be any pain in heaven. There won't be any need in heaven. There won't be any disease in heaven, but we need them right now. And the scriptures tell us specifically, and hear me now, as we think about pain that we may be experiencing or someone we know and a way to help them, because after all, we are put on this earth, believers, to be an extension of God's ability, to be arms and legs to people who are hurting, and to remember these things when we're hurting ourselves. There are things that we have. The Bible tells us, first of all, even though we may not feel like it, that a part of our newly created beings is that we have the grace of God. The grace of God And it's not based on how we feel. We can't let what we feel get in the way of what we know. The grace of God is in us as a part of a new creature. And you've heard that term, word grace, probably all your life. But in this context, what grace means is God's ability working through you to help you do things you can't do on your own. By the way, this is Local Matters. I'm your host, Dwight Henry, and we're glad you're with us today as we reflect on this tragedy that has happened in our community, this tornado which has caused so much damage and loss of life, and we're reflecting on what we have available to us from a spiritual standpoint that God has provided. And one of those things is grace. Folks, you're hurting right now. Folks, there's need right now. But I want you to know, it's not just your strength that you have. You have, as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have His grace. You have His ability working through you to help you do things that you cannot do on your own. And at your weakest moment, when you get up and another day and this loss is in front of you, and I'm not minimizing that. Those that have lost family members, those that have lost children, I am not minimizing that at all. Grief is normal, and we just pray for you, and I'm not minimizing that. But know, or if you know someone who is in that particular condition, know that if they're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, that His ability working through them to help them do things that they can't do on their own is available to them, is available. In fact, they have it as a supernatural force that's in them right now. And what we need to do is just to slow down, take a couple of deep breaths and say, thank you, Father, that I'm not in this by myself. Thank you for your grace. Thank you, Father, that it is your ability working through me to help me do things I can't do on my own. I can make it through this. God is a God of hope. You remember in 1 Corinthians 13, faith, hope, and love, these three, and it primarily talks about love there. But you have hope. You have, and hope is not wishing and hoping in that context. It's not blowing candles out on a birthday cake. That's not what it means there. I hope, I hope, I hope. No. Hope is a force. Hope is a power. There are many, many people right now, as they get up every day, they feel like they have no hope. Life will never be good, or life will never be the same. And they're hurting for various reasons, loss of family members and all the other things that have happened to them. Folks, this supernatural force of hope is something that's available and that the believer has. And we need, our prayer needs to be continually for our community. Hope rise up. Hope rise up in the hearts and the minds of people that have been, let them know that the grace of God is with them and His ability working through them to help them do things they can't do on their own. And hope, this confident expectation of good. And out of this has already come and will continue to become many, many testimonies of God's goodness. And I've heard of several already, and you have too. I don't have time to talk too much about those today, but out of this, we think of Job, and we think of what he went through. Well, in the book of Job, we talk about the patience of Job. That whole period of time only lasted for about 11 months. And everything that Job got, everything that Job lost, he got back double. Children, cattle, servants, all of that. All of that came back to him. We assume when we read that part of that book that went on his whole life. It was less than a year, and God blessed him. Good will come. Good will come. Testimonies will be built for their good and glory. And real quickly, I want to tell you about another force that the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ has, is peace. Folks, Galatians 5:22-23, when it talks about the fruit of our recreated spirit, those are forces, those are powers, those are graces that we have, graces and powers and characteristics of Jesus Christ that come into us when Christ comes into our heart. And peace is not a warm, fuzzy feeling. Peace will produce a warm, fuzzy feeling. It'll produce a feeling, but it is a force. It is a power, much like electric power or solar power or nuclear power. It's a force. And in the darkest moments, in the moments where people hurt the most, and people are hurting right now, many people listening to me are, just say, thank you, God. Thank you, God, for your peace, which passes all understanding, which will keep my heart and mind through Christ Jesus. But I don't feel that way. I understand you don't feel that way. But God's word has to be our constant point of reference. God's word has to be our final authority. And if God's word says you have peace, then appropriate it. Call on it, because it is there. Folks, What a wonderful community we have, reaching out in so many ways to these people who are hurting. And I hope these words today that I've shared with you has made a difference in your life. Father, right now, may hope rise up in our community for peace and patience. And thank you for grace, your ability, working through all those who are hurting to help them to do things that they cannot do on their own. And we receive it by faith in Jesus' name. I'm Dwight Henry. Thank you for joining me today for Local Matters.